Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health topics. Hope everybody is having a terrific Tuesday today. A lot of wild stuff going on, so we're going to hit it hard here in a minute. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's about 73 degrees here today, a partly cloudy skies, light mountain breeze. It's pretty nice, actually. I'm really enjoying this. They're having a really, really cool summer here in the southeast, up here in the Georgia area. How's the weather down there today?
Oh, it's raining. It's been raining all day.
Oh, good. It cooled it down, though. I'd rather rain in Florida in the summer than not rain because of the temperature.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. But yeah, first thing I wanted to get into today, I saw this earlier. It's kind of a ongoing situation. They said they have a possible active shooter at the U.S. Army installation in Alabama, the Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville. Now, I don't know what's going on with this. I haven't done a whole lot on it yet. It just kind of popped up a little bit ago. But the irony of this and how sad this is, that, I mean, our men and women enter the military, enter the armed services, and they don't have the right to defend themselves on bases. This is what they issued. Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville issued the alert, and this is the primary reason why I wanted to bring this up. Possible active shooter on the arsenal. Installation is on lockdown. Run, hide, fight. They put fight last, obviously being the mantra that the mainstream media pushes now. If there's a terrorist attack, you're supposed to run away, you're supposed to hide in a safe space, and at last resort, you're supposed to fight them off with chairs or fire extinguishers that you have available. This is an embarrassment to our armed services, the fact that these guys can't carry service weapons or personal concealed carry weapons on campus. I don't know what's going on with this whole situation in detail, but I wanted to kind of bring that up at the beginning, Dad, and just kind of throw that out there, how sad that is, how an embarrassment that is of our active duty military, that they refuse to allow them to carry service weapons to defend themselves. An active shooter on a military arsenal, and they say, run, hide. That's pretty sad, Dad.
I really don't even know how to respond to that. I mean, it should at least allow the officers to carry weapons. Of course, the officers.
Absolutely.
Officers may not be, because I mean, I remember back in World War II when the Nazis had surrendered and the top officers were coming in to surrender and they were allowed to keep their sidearms by the military, by our armed forces. They allowed the generals and the colonels and the majors and the captains all to keep their weapons. I mean, so far as sidearms for personal protection, because they trusted them and respected them as officers. Now, I mean, maybe that decorum is no longer available in our military. I don't know. But you're absolutely right, son. It's really kind of sad that they're actually not allowing these guys to do this. And by the way, speaking about military, I just had four C-130 transport planes come over us just a few minutes ago. They were low. I mean, I could have shot them with a slingshot if I'd wanted to, probably 150 feet, 200 feet in the air. And they were flying in formation. And, man, I tell you what, those things are loud. And they're big. Gosh, they're big planes.
Yeah.
And they were flying right over the tips of the hills here. So that was interesting, guys. And so it kind of shows a show of force, kind of. It doesn't make you feel really good on the inside either, because you don't really know what they're transporting, because those are the same types of planes they use to transport the heroin out of Afghanistan. I just thought I'd mention that in just passing. What's your next story, bud?
Oh, yeah, and they had the C-130 gunships, too, which are the big boys. Yesterday, you know, we didn't really touch base on it yet because I wanted to see what was going on with it, but the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday did deliver Trump basically significant victory on the travel ban. Monday's ruling effectively allows part of Trump's executive order to go into effect, including the 90-day ban on people entering the United States from six countries who lack any bona fide relationship with a person or entity in the United States. It also puts a 120-day ban on all refugees entering the United States to go into an effect. One individual, Reza Jafari, who's head of the Global Immigration Practice at Withers Law Firm, this guy's such a liberal stooge, he said this, and I just thought it was the funniest thing. He goes, Well, it's still unclear if a national from one of the banned countries will get a visa to visit a family member, participate in a conference, visit schools, or come for a job interview. Will these be considered bona fide reasons to visit the U.S.? My sense is no, and that implication is that the U.S. businesses and universities will be negatively impacted. First off, you're talking about banning refugees that are coming here to fully be subsidized by the United States. Secondly, we're talking about issuing visas and only banning them to six countries that right now really don't have any people that are coming over here to provide significant services, as in bring businesses lots of business or bring universities lots of students. That whole comment was one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard from somebody, but one thing it will do is it will put a big, giant, screeching halt to allowing in the 50 to 100,000 plus refugees they're bringing to the United States intentionally to destabilize the United States economy. So that right there will be a pretty big impact, in my opinion, Dad, at least over the next 4 months, because that will give us all the way till basically November, essentially, of a refugee halt, which would be pretty significant, in my opinion. We don't need any more refugees right now in this country. They're not bringing in anything positive to this country at all right now.
I believe this is staged news. I don't believe the refugee situation is going to slow down at all. I don't believe the middle of the night transports and airplanes and you know, basically you have military planes coming in. I don't believe it'll slow down for a second. They weren't bringing these people in through natural immigration channels anyhow. This will basically affect the people that were coming over here legally, as far as who are getting, who are sponsoring them and bringing them in and getting them into the country, etc. But as far as the people that were coming in via the black market, via the smuggling, via the military, all of that stuff, it won't make one bit of difference, Austin. Not one single bit. Because these guys are planning on loading us up with these people that are going to try to do jihad in the United States. And they're telling us now, because there's such an outcry against it, that they're not going to allow it anymore. But I believe the military is so firmly in charge, and this strategy is so firmly entrenched, that it'll only stop the surface group of people coming through that we would have seen coming through the airports. But all the underground stuff, not going to change as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you may be very right about that. I mean, it will be kind of sad, because I wish they really would bring a stop to it. I don't know. I mean, the Supreme Court voted on this, so I don't know if they're really actually serious about it or not, or if you said, like, it was all staged. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that things are essentially escalating over there with Syria. They're trying to find every single excuse they can to have some type of invasion. They just issued a release earlier by the White House spokesperson last night, Sean Spicer, said the U.S. has now identified potential preparations for another chemical attack by the Assad regime that will likely result in the mass murder of civilians, including innocent children. He said the activities are very similar to the preparations taken before the attack in April, the attack in April that still has not had any type of verification. The Syrian government completely dismissed the unsubstantiated claims and said that basically the Syrian Minister for National Reconciliation dismissed the White House warnings and said it's eerie. This is foreshadowing either a diplomatic campaign against Syria or a military campaign. The Kremlin also dismissed the White House statement, which has warned that Assad and the military would pay a heavy price, is what the White House said, if it goes ahead with the attack. Russian President Vladimir Putin's spokesperson, Dmitry Peskov, said that such threats to Syria's legitimate leaders are unacceptable. Russia sided with Assad when he denied responsibility for the chemical attack on April 14th. Peskov also criticized the Trump administration for using the phrase another chemical weapons attack, arguing that an independent investigation into the April attack has never been conducted despite Russia's calls for it repeatedly. The U.S. so far has not explained why it is completely against an impartial third party determining all the facts of the so-called alleged chemical attacks in April. A senior Russian lawmaker dismissed the U.S. warnings as total provocation. He said the first duty chairman of the defense, Franz Klimczyk, accused the United States of preparing a new attack on the positions of Syrian forces. This looks to me like exactly what we saw and we called out 3 months ago. They're getting ready again. They're trying to come up with an excuse to say we have to attack Syria. We have to do a preemptive attack now because we believe they may use some type of chemical weapons attack on its own people. Guys, you have to think about it from a logical standpoint. The United States has already said repeatedly if Assad uses chemical weapons on his own civilians, which again makes no sense at all, that they were going to attack him again. Why in the world would you possibly use chemical weapons for whatever reason on your own civilian population when you have the United States sticking their big thumb in your face saying we're going to attack you if you do it? There's no upside to Assad doing this whatsoever. There was no chemical attack by Assad on April. The whole thing was totally set up, false flag, in my opinion, was carried out by the one and only Mossad and CIA black op mercenary team, so-called known as ISIS. That's how this whole thing has been playing out, guys. You have to start reading between the lines and doing your own independent research and realizing all this crap they're feeding us is total garbage. They have to go in and take over Syria. That has been the stated goal for decades now, before we ever even went into Iraq, and it has not been as easy as they expected because of the massive defense that Russia and Iran are providing for Syria. So now they're trying to pull on the heartstrings of the United States by saying he's going to release chemical weapons again. We have reason to believe he's going to kill innocent women and children with chemical attacks again, even though the first claim still has never been verified, Dad.
Well, you got to look at the Mossad again. The Mossad absolutely want Iran taken out. They want Syria basically taken down. The Mossad and these special forces that they bring in and all of these mercenary troops that they've hired in Syria now, they're doing everything. I mean, Israel's continuing to bomb Syria. I mean, Israel now. I'm talking Israel. And they're almost as if they're trying to push the United States and Russia towards a nuclear confrontation over Syria. And now this seems kind of odd when you talk about it because, gosh, nobody wins in this. But remember, they don't really care because they're part of that Sabbatean Kabbalist group. They don't really care about the Jewish folks or the people in Israel or the Palestinians or anybody, actually. It's all about mass human sacrifice to their God. So to them, I guess it would be a giant sacrifice to Lucifer if they were able to kill a whole bunch of people with a nuclear confrontation, Austin. But you're absolutely right. This is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Assad has absolutely no intentions, nor would he have any intentions, of gassing his own people for the simple reason that he knows it's going to just get the whole world fighting, wanting to come in there after him like it did Osama bin Laden and the guy from Iraq, Hussein. So the craziest thing about this is that the American population, because it's so dumbed down on fluoride and chlorine and chemtrails and all the other junk they pump into us and these piezoelectric crystals now they're basically tagging us all with, they're forcing us to believe the narrative of the mainstream lies. All of it's nonsense. The CNN anchor said this past week that the entire narrative against Russia and Trump with the spying and the hacking and all that was complete and total BS, is what he said. And he said it wasn't real. So, I mean, so the whole thing is this. Here we go, guys. We've got a group of people here in the United States. They want to believe this stuff because they're the dumbed-down sheeple. And then the media keeps pumping these lies until the masses believe it. The problem is they're not getting the same response they used to get because the masses aren't believing it anymore because we've all had enough of it. So we'll see what happens with all this, Austin. I don't know. What's your next story, bud?
Well, yeah, and also, too, I mean, you guys got to understand, we just took down a week and a half ago a U-22 Syrian fighter jet and killed a Syrian pilot in a sovereign country that we're not even supposed to be in, and everybody thought that's supposed to be okay because he allegedly dropped munitions, a giant ordnance, a bomb, on ISIS members that was supposedly too close to Syrian-backed U.S. fighters or whatever the narrative is they want to say, that didn't get Russia provoked enough because Russia's trying to be mild, not trying to start a nuclear war. So now the United States is trying to use an excuse for a preemptive measure to attack Syria to prevent casualties from a chemical attack. And what Dad was just talking about a second ago, if you guys had not seen it yet, which Trump needs to revoke CNN's White House press credentials immediately after this, the Project Veritas revealed the network is pushing the Trump-Russian hysteria despite the whole story being BS, is what he referred to it as. CNN senior supervising producer John Bonifield was asked on camera, in a, basically a undercover camera in a hallway going out to a conference, about the network's coverage of the Russian investigation and allegations with Trump and Russia. He said, could be BS. I mean, it's mostly BS right now. I think the president is probably right to say, look, you're on a witch hunt. You have no smoking gun. You have no real proof. Then the guy asked him, why is CNN constantly like Russia this, Russia that? Bonafide responded, because it's ratings. Our ratings are incredible right now. Three CNN journalists have then been forced to resign after network apologized for pushing another fake story about Trump. This is going on and on. And it's not just the ratings with these guys. I'm sure it's what a lot of the guys are believing on the lower end. But it's because they're constantly being told this from the higher ups, from the globalist executives. They're saying, listen, you have to keep pushing this narrative. You have to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until people believe the lie. Until we can get majority of the population to completely believe the lie, then we're not going to stop doing it. He's blatantly saying it right here on camera. It's BS. It's bulldookie. There's nothing here. There's absolutely no correlation whatsoever. We're pushing fake news on a regular basis to completely confuse and lie to the masses every single day. That is what the mainstream is about. That is their complete and total top-tier goal. That is the only thing they are trying to do now, is completely change the minds and way of thinking of the population to follow the lines of the globalists so the majority of the United States follows them into World War III against Russia and Syria and hates Donald Trump for trying to do anything productive. That's pretty much where it's gone now, Dad, with all of this.
You're absolutely right, Austin. I couldn't have said it any better than that, because CNN, you're absolutely right, should have their press credentials released. You know, yesterday I talked about the this mess with Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff, and there was a girl just last week on Fox, I'm not even going to give you her name, she was a professor, she'd been fired over this, and Black Lives Matter was having a rally for black soldiers from the Civil War, and they said absolutely no whites were allowed because they don't have to deal with white people. And then she came on TV and basically said that he called her a neo-Nazi racist for the way she was acting, and she was terminated. One of the most racist human beings I've ever listened to in my whole life. I mean, it was awful. But today I got another article in, and this is another one that's just chased me around the collar. And it says, black oppression and white guilt. Do you feel it? And this author comes in here and he starts talking about how black men are dealing with depression and how we whites don't understand any of this. And I'm like, they're not going to stop. Now, the reason I'm covering this again today is this is all a psych job they're doing on your heads. This is a psych job. It's a psych job on everybody. I mean, it's the same thing they did to Germany after World War II. Germany, the Germans that I know in Germany are still feeling guilt of what their ancestors did in World War II, when you don't even realize it was the Rothschild banking cartel that was basically funding both sides of the war, and that the Bushes were deeply involved in supporting the Nazis, and the British government and the United States government are the ones that funded the money for the slave labor camps that we call concentration camps. I mean, we forget all about what really happened in World War II, and we believe the narrative, and they constantly shove this stuff down your throat, that you're bad because you're a German, because your grandparents or your great-grandparents did something during World War I or World War II. This was the campaign that was started by Edward Bernays, who was the cousin of Sigmund Freud, to get the United States into World War I, and they actually caused the sinking of the Lusitania to facilitate this. I mean, it was done on purpose with Lusitania. And the craziest thing about this is that it was all demonization of the German people. Just like now, you see it exactly the way the Germans have felt it, in the demonization of the white people in the United States. This is the exact same psych op that these guys did to Germany that they're now doing to the American population of white people, trying to make us feel guilty for something we had absolutely nothing to do with. And they can, quite frankly, they can take it, they can shove it up their nose as far as I'm concerned, because I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to sign for it, and I'm not going to take it. If they try to bring this basket of snakes to my door, I'm telling them to get the heck off my property. I'm not signing for this garbage. And you shouldn't either. Guys, don't allow your children or your grandchildren to think that they were white privileged and that was got them what they are. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you this. I worked 100-hour weeks when we started Health Masters back in 81, back 37 years ago. 100-hour weeks when I got started in this company. I worked and worked and worked and worked and worked for 5 years trying to make what I was doing work as far as from a cost-effective standpoint, because I already had so much education. I was a college professor for the first 2 years of this, and I knew there was a way that we could make it work and make the highest quality supplements in the world. I knew we could get it done and make it right. That's how long I've been doing this. So you say that was white privilege, that I worked 100 hours a week? Well, how about we teach the black people, and how about the black people teach the black people, because we haven't been able to do it, to stop screwing each other, excuse my language, when they're 12 and 13 years old and not even knowing who the daddies are and having four or five children out of wedlock by the time they're 20, 25 years old to get on government subsidies. And we have white people to do that too. I'm not going to just pick on the blacks on that. And we have Hispanics who do that. How about we teach the blacks not to kill each other, which that's the worst thing they do, is kill each other in the ghettos in the big cities, and stop blaming everything on white people. I mean, this is complete and total nonsense. We can't allow a group of people from Black Lives Matter, funded through George Soros, to try to put everybody on a collective guilt trip in the United States because we're white. My gosh, I didn't ask to be white. If I was black, I'd be proud I was black, but I wouldn't be prejudiced against white people because I was black. If I was Hispanic, I'd be proud I was Hispanic. I wouldn't care, but I wouldn't go out and be prejudiced against the very people who are working with me in the United States to make this greatest nation in the world that it once was, to bring our nation back. This is divide and conquer strategy from George Soros, the same nonsense that they did to the German people after World War II and after World War I. Guys, don't sign for it. Don't let your children sign for it. Guys, if you're black, don't sign for it. If you're white, don't sign for it. If you're Hispanic, don't sign for it. Here's the thing. We shouldn't even be seeing color at this point in our history, in our civilization. Obama did more to bring racial tension and prejudice back to the people in the United States than any other president ever has in modern history. And he did it on purpose because that was one of his major goals, Austin. And if I start talking about this much more, I'm going to start fussing too much. So what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just not it's not something that's really, that's what I brought up yesterday with that whole article with it. I mean, we keep allowing stuff like that to be promoted and pushed in the news, and it's like, it gets publicity. All it does is further hurt those relationships with everybody. So it's something that's really sad when you see this going on more and more, because that's not the way it needs to be. We've progressed way past this now, and it is really sad. Also, too, up in Seattle now, their minimum wage hike is actually hurting low-level workers, a study now says. Seattle's first in the nation 15-per-hour minimum wage law is hurting the workers it aimed to help, a new study has found. They basically went on to say here that the workers are making more per hour but are taking home less pay, which is exactly what I told you was going to happen. The University of Washington paper asserts the new wages boosted worker pay by 3%, but also resulted in a 9% reduction in hours and a $125 cut to the monthly paychecks overall. The law also cost the city 5,000 jobs, the report has said. They said Seattle's minimum wage ordinance passed by the Seattle City Council and signed by Mayor Ed Murray in 2014 was supposed to close the income inequality gap, but the issue it is not done that whatsoever. It's actually hurt those people that were supposed to be getting basically helped by this $15 an hour wage, which is exactly what I said before, guys. You can't come in and say a base level employee that's basically taking orders at McDonald's or flipping burgers at Burger King or making a taco at Taco Bell. There's nothing wrong with having a job like that, but you can't sit there and say we're mandating that everybody that works there makes a minimum of $15 an hour. What they start doing is they start either cutting shifts, they start cutting people back, they start trying to bring in people that are part-time that may not be required by that law to be based, because I know that was one of the mandates on there, if they were not a full-time employee, they didn't have to pay them as much, if I'm not mistaken. So that's exactly what they're trying to do now. Business can't stay operable paying somebody that's there to take orders or to flip burgers $30,000 a year salary. It's just not something that's feasible in most businesses. If they can do it, they can do it, but majority of them can't. So now we see the backlash from what's going on here.
No, that's exactly right. In fact, we said this when they started that last year, Austin. We said they'll have a massive reduction in employee hours, employee benefits, and employee everything as far as hiring employees, because all the kids aren't worth $10 or $15 an hour. I mean, quite frankly, the kids aren't worth the $8 minimum wage as it is now. They're not worth it. I mean, they're useless. I mean, they don't know how to handle a shovel. They don't know how to handle an axe. You got to train them how to do anything. They want to sit around and drink water all day and not work. I mean, so you're supposed to pay these guys $15 an hour? You're gonna go bankrupt is what's going to happen. I mean, the whole thing is complete nonsense that this stuff goes on and on and on to basically to infinity like this. It's like Jim Rohn said. He said this is interesting. He goes, everybody needs to understand that we don't have a fixed income in the United States. It's a sliding scale with no cap, depending upon the value that you bring to the marketplace. If you bring value to the marketplace will pay you based on your value. You don't need a minimum wage. If you're a valuable employee, you get a raise. If you're not a valuable employee, you don't get a raise. If you're in a profession that doesn't want to give you a raise and you are a valuable employee and you're an asset to that company, you've got to basically step away and go somewhere else and get another job. That's how it was supposed to work in a free enterprise system. But guys, listen, if you've got an employer who's paying you $10, $15, $20 an hour, he's got to cover the cost of your salary plus make enough money to make income for himself. If he doesn't do that, then all he's doing is paying you the money or the salary and not having any net profit. It doesn't work that way when you have a business on your own. You've got to make sure. It's not about cash flow as far as, you know, turning money and not having a net. It's about having a little bit of profit, you know, the month that you can actually take a salary yourself as the owner of a company. That's what this whole thing's all about, is in a free enterprise system. And when you go in and you start kicking these kids in at $15 an hour where they should be making $5 an hour, it makes it literally impossible to do this. Oh, by the way, we now got a study now showing that magnesium, again, another magnesium article, that magnesium deficiency has been linked to an increased risk of pancreatic cancer. This is pretty amazing. I didn't realize it was actually linked to pancreatic cancer, but that doesn't surprise me. And basically, magnesium is a naturally occurring mineral electrolyte that assesses over 300 biochemical reactions in the body. It also works in concert with calcium to build bones. However, surprisingly low amounts of magnesium are found in almost every single person tested. And optimal magnesium provides a really, really good benefit for you and your health altogether. But now it's been linked to increased risks of pancreatic cancer. By one more thing with the pancreatic cancer, another thing that massively increases the risks of pancreatic cancers are the eating of sodium nitrates. This is luncheon meat. Bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni. In fact, you have a 6-time greater risks of developing pancreatic cancer if you eat these processed luncheon meat with sodium nitrite on a regular basis. 60 times greater risks. So guys, stay away from those luncheon meats and make sure you get enough magnesium. We've got the magnesium brain food that works great as far as passing through the blood-brain barrier. It's actually chelate movement out of the brain to pull it out of your system, which really is great because of all these crazy chemtrails. They're having a British loom, which goes directly into the brain through our olfaction system. And also remember that magnesium can be also absorbed topically. We have the magnesium salts. Actually bathe in or soak your feet in, that work great, plus magnesium deodorant and magnesium sports oil. So magnesium is super important in all the aspects of your body and your health, and it's one of the biggest deficiencies we have in the United States, Austin. You think about the thing with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, yeah. Pancreatic cancer is a serious issue. One of the issues we're finding out with that, too, is metformin's massive usage now. They've been directly linking that to pancreatic cancer, which we've talked about before, but the magnesium deficiency is such a significant issue that, and the problem is, as you just said, most people don't discuss it. And magnesium plays a role in so many different areas of the body. And although it's not classified as an antioxidant, magnesium has potent antioxidant effects, including the ability to reduce disease-causing oxidative stress and inflammation. That's why a lot of times when we have the magnesium salts that you can soak your hands in, the magnesium oil, the topical magnesium, which has been such a popular product since we started carrying it a couple of years ago, because of how effective it is and what it does at reducing inflammation, helps out with arthritis, helps out with sore muscles, helps out with sore joints, really helps out with energy, helps out with detox in the body. There's so many positive factors about it. It's so important. And while, you know, you can get a decent amount of natural magnesium in your food, supplementing it with oral magnesium and also topical magnesium remains to pretty much be the most effective way to really increase your overall magnesium levels in the body. That's why a lot of times I tell people take the magnesium and malate acid orally, you know, 300-500 milligrams a day. And then topically, soak your feet in it or soak your hands in it with the oil on at least a daily basis. And that really adds it in topically, which really gets the magnesium stores up rapidly in the body and has all the health benefits and anti-inflammatory properties that we were just talking about. Now, this is something that's pretty weird that's just been released, that they're actually starting to, again, start field testing this now. It's being called the Texalizer, technology that is modeled after the breathalyzer, but it would determine if you had been using your phone illegally while you were driving. This is some pretty creepy stuff now they're starting to come out with, and the fact is a lot of people are supporting this. I am not an advocate of texting and driving or using your phone while driving. There's a lot of options now they have with the hands-free, and you can talk on the phone in your vehicle if you need to without holding it. Much safer for you, much actually healthier for you as well, because the phone's not up against your head. But now, lawmakers in New York and also a handful of other cities are considering allowing police to use this new device to crack into phones, because they say too many people are getting away with texting and driving. The company called Cellebrite developed what's known as the Texalizer. It would be able to determine whether a driver illegally was using a phone in the moments before some type of crash. Cellebrite engineer Lee Papasloy demonstrated the device for lawmakers and reporters at the New York State Capitol in Albany earlier last week. He said the police officer just goes to the driver and attaches a cord and connects the device to the phone. They simply tap one button and it will process about 90 seconds or so, and then it will show what the last activities were. Again, that can be a text, a message, so on, with a timestamp. The device would also display a summary of what apps on the phone were open in use. He says as well as screen taps and swipes. For example, if there was a WhatsApp message or a call, it would indicate what the source was, the timestamp, and then what the direction of the communication was. So if it was an outgoing call versus an ingoing call. He insists, though, that the Texalizer would only capture taps and swipes to determine if a driver was using the phone, that it would not download or look into any type of content whatsoever on the phone, and that it would be only able to tell if the driver was using the phone legally or illegally. Privacy advocates and civil libertarians are extremely upset about this. They're saying distracted driving and phone usage while driving is a serious concern, but this bill gives police unbelievable power to take and search our phones after even something such as a mild fender bender, says Rashada Richardson, legislative counsel for the New York City Civil Liberties Union. She said this is a huge concern because our phones have some of the most personal and private information. So we're certain that if this law is enforced as it is proposed, it will not only completely violate people's privacy rights, but also our civil liberties. It seems like they never come out of, they never stop coming up with ideas to completely come in and try and invade our privacy at almost every level, Dad. What do you think about that now?
Well, I've got mixed emotions on this one, and here's why. Your grandmother last year was rear-ended by a girl who was basically texting, driving, and basically ran into the back of her car. It was fender bender. And it was less than $1,000 in damage, which surely is accurate. She has a 2016 Acura. And the back bumper had to be repainted. the girl basically was texting your grandma. She was texting that wasn't paying any attention, and rear-ended your grandmother. Your grandmother got back, but she didn't try to do a bad backclimb on.
Hey, but you're in a really bad connection. I'm barely hearing you at all. I'm hearing like every other word you're saying. I don't know if you're losing signal or what.
Okay, I mean I can try it again if you like it. It's as good as it gets today.
Is okay, well, it's great the whole time.
Okay, is it any better now, or is it still bad?
No, it's still pretty bad.
Okay, awesome.
I don't know if you want to reconnect with Todd and try it again.
Let's try it, Todd.
Okay. Well, he's coming back, guys. That quality got really, really bad there. Another story as well, what's going on in Europe. The Court of Justice of the European Union ruled Wednesday that courts may now consider vaccines to be the cause of an illness, even in the absence of scientific evidence confirming a link. In the United States, as you guys know, pharmaceutical companies cannot be sued whatsoever for any vaccine injury whatsoever, even if they directly link it right to the vaccine. Can't be sued because of the 1986 Act. Completely and totally giving pharmaceutical companies in the United States carte blanche immunity to anything and everything they want to produce. Well, the EU's highest court now has said that if a development of a disease is timely to the person receiving a vaccine, if the person was previously healthy without a lack of history of the disease in their family, and if a significant number of disease cases are reported among people receiving a certain vaccine, that will serve as proof. The ruling stemmed from the case of a French man known as JW who was vaccinated against hepatitis B in 98 and developed multiple sclerosis later on. So I don't know if this is another one of those show things that they're trying to do to take some heat off a lot of the massive vaccination protests that we've been seeing all over Europe right now. But again, this at least is opening a doorway to some type of justice if you have a true court system, a lawful court system, a judge that's unbiased to allow some people to be compensated in Europe. I don't know why this can't be done in the United States. That act from 1986 that Reagan allowed to get passed in the law should have been repealed years and years ago. It's sad to me that it has not done so, though. But it is what it is. We can only keep pushing for it. You back in here, Deb?
Yeah, you're okay?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Okay. Then go back to your grandmother. If I break up again, I'll just try to relocate the vehicle. Your grandmother got rear-ended, and it was a fender bender. The girl told your grandmother that she was on the phone texting, didn't watch what she was doing, ran into Shirley, could have been a really bad problem with Shirley's back, was not. And then what happened, as soon as the cop got there, the girl said that she was not texting, and that basically that Shirley cut her off, and that's why she ran into her. Total lies. And then she sues Shirley. Sues the insurance company. She hits Shirley in the back and sues the insurance company. And of course, the case was thrown out. But the problem was because Shirley had a new car and it got reported to the police, the doggone Carfax got reported, and she lost almost $15,000 on her value of her car because her car got hit and had to have body work done to it, and it was reported to Carfax. So now that car that was worth $45,000 is worth about $26,000. Because of what happened because of that accident. So that's why I have mixed reservations about this monitor that monitors your cell phone usage. Now, what needs to be done is this. In the car right now, if I try to go to navigation while I'm driving, it won't let me do it. It simply says no, not allowed. You know, it won't do it. You have to stop and pull over if you want to put something in the navigation. That's how the cell phones need to be manufactured. If you're driving a car, it needs to know you're driving a car. And it basically shouldn't allow you to get any text messages or to text out while you're driving. Something else has to be done. But going in and hacking into people's cell phones and getting that information out of them, while it may be effective as far as proving who's telling the truth and efficient, it's going to be too much of a risk in the civil liberties again. So it needs to be addressed, though, because people won't stop texting and driving, Austin, and this has become a major cause of accidents all over the United States, and it's not getting any better.
No, you're absolutely right about that. It's a significant issue, and the thing about it is a lot of these newer vehicles, what they have now is they have the vehicle, the phone interfaces with the Bluetooth, and so you can actually speak to text where you can say, like, hey, John, I'm going to the store, and it'll text that out, or you can make a phone call. Makes it very, very easy to use. It interfaces with the vehicles. What I think needs to be done is these vehicles need to, when it interfaces with that, it needs to basically disable using the phone unless you disconnect it from the vehicle. The issue you always run into all this stuff, though, is that's what I said before. When you start giving the police any autonomy to start going into your personal property without a search warrant, it completely gets out of control immediately. The thing is, right now, you can even get your phone subpoenaed. They can subpoena the records. They've done this numerous times in court now where they've said, we're subpoenaing the phone records. We want to see the timestamps on the text messages or the phone calls. It's such and such date. They give them the exact time that the accident was. It's subpoenaed for that exact time, you know, within give or take 5 or 10 minutes, and they see what happened, and it proves whether or not text messages were being sent, phone calls were being made right around that exact time. And then they're used in court in that manner. I don't have an issue with that. Going through a legal process, subpoenaing records, and using them in a court of law is the way it's supposed to be done. But giving officers carte blanche immunity to say, oh, here's a device, you can scan people's phones, and it's not going to read any of their information, or it's going to keep it private, is, to me, is going to be another reason for law enforcement to pull people over and abuse their powers. Because then what you'll start having is, you'll start having cops that say, well, I saw him use his phone while he was driving, so I pulled him over for it. I scanned his phone because I have a legal device now that you guys deem legal in New York. It scanned his phone and said he did it. Now I'm writing him a citation for using his phone while driving and what other tickets I want to come up with. This is such a slippery slope we're going down now with the police state. Yes, we have a very significant problem with texting and driving, driving distracted. There's no question about it whatsoever. It's a significant problem, and there needs to be ways that we can look at it to try and help it. But when it comes down to it, driving a vehicle is a dangerous practice. A lot of people don't think about it on a daily basis, but doing 80, 90 miles an hour down the highway in a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 pound vehicle for hours on end, things happen. People wreck. People die. It's a significant risk, but everybody's willing to take it in order to commute back and forth to areas in a timely fashion. It really saves time compared to walking, riding a bicycle, or riding a horse. We all agree on that. So there's always going to be a significant degree of just dangerous activity that you're involved in when you're driving. Does that allow people to text and drive? Should that be allowed? No, absolutely not. But the further we keep going down this road towards autonomous vehicles, police tag scanners now, police being able to pull people over for just not wearing a seatbelt, now being able to scan people's phones for any reason that they want, these are all starting to go down the line. So it's a very, very thin rope that we're on right now, and we need to be very careful, because if we go down too many more notches, it's eventually going to reach a point where we're going to have checkpoints on the highway, papers please, registration and license at the toll booth. They will turn all the toll booths into registration points. Oh, also too, you're driving right now, we have your registration, your driver's license, I need to go ahead and scan your phone and make sure you haven't made any phone calls or text messages since you've been driving, and we have the black box right now that already scanned through when your vehicle drove through with your driver's license tag, so we know you've been driving for 47 minutes on this road, and I see here you made a text message 27 minutes ago. That had to have been while you were driving, so we're issuing you a citation for that. Go ahead and pay that in court, and you can drive on your way again to the next checkpoint. If they scan it again and find you did it again, they're going to issue another citation. That's where it's headed, guys. That's the level it's going to get, where everything you do is going to be taxed and fined, because they're going to find a way to fine you for any single thing that you do, including breathe air if they can get away with it. So that's the issue that I have with it, Dad, is the slippery slope that it's leading down now to with the police force in some cases that really abuse their power.
I couldn't agree anymore with everything you just said. And that's exactly why it needs to be internally done inside of the car from an electronic standpoint, not allowing it to happen unless you're going through the voice automated text thing. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
So I agree. Oh, by the way, there's now an official push to hide drug and vaccine side effects to reduce informed consent. In other words, when you see these TV commercials telling you all of the side effects, they're trying to get it so they no longer have to tell you the side effects on a TV commercial. In a disturbing turn of events, Big Pharma pushes to hijack informed consent by removing side effects from direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertising. This is bad, guys. This direct-to-consumer advertising exploded during the past several decades is now the most prominent type of health communication the public encounters. This has been legal in the U.S. since 1985, but has exponentially expanded in 97 when the Food and Drug Administration changed the rule that once forced drug companies to offer a detailed list of side effects in their long-format commercials. The impact was immediate. Spending by drug companies on TV ads hit $664 million within a year. By 2005, it was $3 billion. 2008, $5 billion. And now it's up to like $10 billion in 2007. This is absolutely crazy. The only two countries right now in the world that allow this are New Zealand and the United States. And what appears to be coordinated effort between the FDA and the UK's Academy of Medical Sciences, they have announced their intentions to hide or eliminate side effects, including written side effects, from patient information leaflets. They don't want you to know what you're putting in your body the same way they don't want you to know that you're getting GMO food. They don't want you to know you're being poisoned with glyphosate because it's bad for business. This is crazy, Austin. The FDA announced it will begin a study titled Experimental Study of Risk Information Amount and Location in Direct-to-Consumer Print Ads, so they'll be able to pull this off the market as quickly as possible. This is a disaster in the making. The moves by the FDA and the American Medical Association can be considered beta tests to gauge how the public, medical communities, and regulatory agencies react to attempts at the further erosion of informed consent. Years prior, Ireland beat its HPV vaccination program through the country's school system. Ireland's health service executive specifically instructed schools and their staff to not include the side effects of Gardasil shortly after the 2014. This goes on and on and on. I mean, this is just absolutely crazy, because when they poison you and they kill you and they do all kinds of bad stuff to you, they don't want you to know about it because they don't want you to set up a class action lawsuit. They want immunity for everything they're doing, Austin, including poisoning you with pharmaceuticals. What do you think about this?
It doesn't surprise me. I can't believe they're actually getting away with something like this if they do. But no, this is their overall goal. They want to keep the blind sheep completely in the dark about the drugs they're taking, the side effects they're taking. That way, when they come back in and they say, man, doc, I've been taking metformin. I got pancreatic cancer and I've been taking statins and now I got Parkinson's. The doctor goes, oh, we have no idea how that happened. That's never been a side effect of the drug. And unfortunately, sir, we can't release any of the side effects per law, so I'm pretty sure that can't have anything to do with it whatsoever, and even if it did, we couldn't find out in the first place. That's where they wanted to head. They want people to have no idea the unbelievably dangerous and sometimes deadly side effects a large percentage of these pharmaceuticals have on the human body. That way more people will get on them, more people will get hooked on them, and it will degrade more people's health and keep people in the medical industrial complex, in and out of the hospital, in and out of the doctor's room, in and out of sick health care all the time, so that it'll increase the profits for Big Pharma and the hospital industrial complex in the same time. That's the overall goal with it. And then you have all these liberals that are screwed. Oh, you can't repeal Obamacare. People are going to die because they're not going to have insurance. First off, Obamacare has been an abysmal failure. Everything about it was designed to take as much money as it could from the general population and siphon it back in via the tax so the IRS could take even more money unlawfully from us in the first place and not allow us to have any type of decent health care rates. You talk to anybody now, health care is to the roof. Hell, I mean, it's insane, some of the health care prices, the premiums, the deductibles, everything's through the roof now. It is exactly what we thought was going to happen in 2010, and it's exactly what's continuing to happen until we get rid of this crap that Obama put in place in line with the globalists. Also, too, this is a pretty wild video I watched earlier. This is footage out of France. It shows you how bad it's getting in France when migrants now are blocking roads with tree limbs an attempt to hijack the truck. It literally looks like it's right out of some type of zombie horror flick. It was filmed on a dash cam that was basically picking up the black and white night vision cams that you can run on a delivery truck. And it shows the truck driving down this dark road, and all of a sudden, migrants literally start pouring over the sidewalls, which is like the embankment barriers on this road, start pouring over, I mean jumping over it, and running up and beside the vehicle, behind the vehicle, and he slows down. There's two giant tree limbs in the middle of the road. There's barriers that are about 4 feet high on both sides, so you can't drive around it. It's completely blocking the road. So he puts it in reverse and tries to back up. They start pouring over the barrier, literally like locusts, like zombie locusts, chasing the truck, throwing rocks at the truck, trying to mount the truck so they can break into it. Finally, he stops and realizes he can't back up fast enough, throws it in drive, punches the gas, takes off, ends up going head-on into these tree limbs, jumps the tree limbs, and actually makes it over them safely as the migrants fly all over the place and jump back over the barrier. Well, apparently what they're doing now is they're trying to take it over so they can ambush the vehicle. Last week, a driver was killed as a result of leaving tree trunks on the road, exactly as we saw in the clip before. And according to 4 a.m., two trucks were forced to suddenly brake in an attempt to avoid the tree trunks, causing a third vehicle that couldn't stop in time to crash into other vehicles and go into flames. Earlier this month, footage also emerged of migrants setting up burning roadblocks in an attempt to hijack trucks, apparently in a bid to illegally enter the United Kingdom, where they say the benefits there are perceived to be more generous than in France. Despite the Calais migrant camp that had been taken down to the ground by the French authorities last year, you guys remember in Calais, whatever, how you say it, C-A-L-A-I-S, migrant camp over there, migrants now have returned to the area in huge numbers now and are being aided by volunteers that are feeding them in violation of the municipal order to stop. France is turning into a migrant nightmare to the point now they're putting tree trunks in the middle of the road so they can hijack the trucks at 4 a.m. in the middle of the night and steal people's vehicles like a doggone zombie horror film. It's pretty pretty crazy that what we're seeing over there now.
Well, that's what they want to bring to the United States. That's why I said the illegal immigrants aren't going to stop. They're just telling us they're going to stop. By the way, the World Health Organization has admitted that vaccines cause polio paralysis in ISIS regions on these areas where they've gone in with mass immunization of polio. This is crazy. Polio has paralyzed 17 children in these regions. Both areas are located in ISIS-controlled regions. There are now 14 new cases and the first outbreak of polio in the region since 2014. The World Health Organization has said the first symptoms began to emerge back in March. The WHO performed lab tests which have shown the cases were vaccine-derived, which means the outbreak is confirmed to be caused by polio vaccines carrying live viruses. So how does this happen? It requires the live virus to pass through the intestines and into the water supply. When the water supply is rooted in a contaminated, unclean source, it allows for the virus to spread. However, the World Health Organization is blaming as herd immunity, saying that under immunization is to blame. Their logic, if more kids were vaccinated, the live virus spreading through the water systems wouldn't be relevant. So in other words, they're basically, they're saying they caused it, but now they're blaming it on the people who didn't get vaccinated, who don't have the polio because they didn't get vaccinated. This doublespeak that these guys do blows my mind, Austin, that these guys are actually doing stuff like this on an ongoing basis and saying stuff like this and making us think that we're supposed to just believe all of this stuff. It's actually crazy to me, bud, that they actually think like this, they believe like this. But guys, they really do believe this way, that the reason these guys got polio from the vaccines is because not everybody took the vaccines who didn't get polio. Austin, I don't even know how to explain it. It's so stupid, bud. What do you think about this?
Well, it is, man. I mean, the whole thing, even, it is really ridiculous, honestly. The whole thing with these vaccines, and I just tell people over and over and over again, don't believe the mainstream narrative. Don't believe the lies that they spew out on a regular basis. Do your own research on these vaccines and decide if this is something you want to inject into your own body and your children's body and if it's worth the risk. I found personally that it was not worth the risk to use these vaccines, and myself, even as an adult, and also in my son, Hunter. Lana and I both agreed on that. all these vaccinations. They claim do this and claim do that. There's never any legitimate scientific research that they have to back it up that shows it actually 100% guarantees the prevention of acquiring that disease. Never. Zero. You will not find one that has ever proven that whatsoever. But what you will find is tens of thousands of significant severe adverse reactions from almost every single popular vaccination that the CDC mandates. Hence why the United States government has had to pay out over $3 billion through the Vaccine Compensation Injury Fund to individuals that had been significantly damaged or killed, and they have had to pay out to their families due to these vaccines. If the vaccines were completely safe, like they claim all the time, vaccines have never been shown to hurt anybody, they're 100% safe, why have we paid out over $3 billion? Please answer me that question. And you ask somebody that, and they go, oh, well, I didn't know that that's happened. Yeah, exactly. You didn't know because you don't do any research, buddy. You just believe the mainstream lies that constantly get spewed out on the television that you watch incessantly. Do your own research. Do your own background on what these vaccines actually do and what they actually put in them. I mean, they use aluminum, they use mercury, they use the embalming solution on there. They use in a ton of
formaldehyde.
I mean, they test all of them. And then even we read that report last year, the independent assay testing on these vaccines, and found that a lot of them were contaminated with lead. Even the HPV vaccine had huge amounts of lead in the vaccine. Do your research, guys. Make sure you know exactly what you're doing before you just blindly let this stuff get injected into your body.
Oh, well, by the way, Austin, lawsuits are starting to mount against cholesterol drugs because of all the side effects. Now, Big Pharma has developed a new vaccine. There's for cholesterol. So now they want to give you an injection of a cholesterol-lowering vaccine so you don't have to take your statin drugs anymore. I mean, who in the world knows what that's going to do to the body mechanisms? Guys, thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for being here. Thanks for praying for us. I just think you guys are awesome. We have the best listeners of the whole world. We've got listeners all over the world. Those guys are listening over in Europe and New Zealand and Australia and Africa. Thank you so much, and all over the United States and Alaska. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it so much. And if I missed your country, just email us and let me know where you are, and we'll mention you guys too. God bless you. Austin, you'll need to write up, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate it. And guys, thank you for all the support, and thank you for the emails. I've gotten a couple emails from people saying they can't download or they can't get to the archives or some of the shows on the website. I'm not sure what's going on with that. We've basically been looking at them, monitoring them. Everything's been working on our end, so I'm not sure. If you have a service provider, you may want to check with them and make sure everything's working okay. Also, too, you can go in and possibly clear your cookies or clear your cache on your computer and see if there's something that could be holding it up on that aspect. But yes, guys, if you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. Be sure to vote on what product you want today for the product of the week. It ends tonight, basically transfers over in the morning to whatever product won. So Sublingual B12. Methylcobalamin, it'll be the last day it's on sale today, and it'll be switching over to whatever product wins tomorrow. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow as always.